You will turn with me to our scripture text this morning. This morning we're looking at a scripture in the Old Testament in the middle of the Ten Commandments. Familiar context. You may want to pull out a green bulletin insert that has some sermon notes and outline to follow along and keep pace with where we are. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20. I'll be reading verses 8 through 11. It's on page number 118. Verses 8 through 11 of Exodus chapter 20. Page number 118. Picking up with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. But in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In our society, in our culture, we need to resist the drift of the fast pace, the harried and the hurried, the frenzied and the frenetic. I think that's a word. Anyhow, we're all often frazzled by the pace of life. And this morning, it seems to me that it's important to keep clear in our minds the difference between a good work ethic and the extreme of being a workaholic. I've talked to several who are self-confessed addicted to their work, those who live to work instead of work to live, right? You know what that means? A workaholic is one who is personally addicted to performance and producing. And this is true with activity in the world and in the church. Producing. In fact, this is one addiction that the church accepts, affirms, and even applauds in people as they serve the Lord. Work is a good gift from God. Toil is a consequence of sin in the fall, but work is a gift of God. But oftentimes we often take it to extreme, to its distortion. The rewards of workaholism, besides the obvious financial and material compensations, are the affirmation of our bosses, our co-workers, the sense of significance and achievement that bolsters our pride and staves off sagging self-esteem. Productivity, more work, more productivity, at least to a point, and then things start to turn the other way. As Christians, we need to balance extremes when it comes to these things. We need to resist the temptation to laziness and sloth on the one hand, and on the other hand, resist the temptation to overwork. Both are contrary to God's will and are breaking God's commands, as we just read. We're in the middle of a sermon series that keeps on growing. I keep coming up with more and more thoughts on this subject of rest and rebuilding bigger hearts, growing our heart's capacity to love one another and our heart's capacity to love and worship God. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second greatest is like unto it, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if our hearts are constantly shrinking due to all the chaos and confusion, the clamor of this world and society. It's impossible to fulfill those commands. God doesn't want us to be cold, calloused in heart, but to be loving, kind, compassionate towards one another and exalting in our praise to Him. This overload syndrome, as I mentioned, a book by Richard Swenson, a medical doctor, Richard Swenson, I've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. And in that book, Margins, or Overload Syndrome, the follow-up, the overexposure, hyperactivity, and extreme accessibility can be seen in quotes like another friend of Dr. Swenson's, a medical doctor, said, "I'm dying of easy accessibility. If Alexander Graham Bell walked into my office, I'd punch him in the nose. If he called, I'd be sure to put him on hold." How about that? That is your thanks for inventing the telephone. The good news is, you've heard this, the good news is you're always connected with the office. The bad news is you're always connected with the office, right? And so it goes. Too much accessibility. Sometimes you need to detach, disconnect, unplug, and spend time with the Lord. In fact, it's one of God's top 10, one of God's 10 commandments that set God's will for God's people boiled down to 10 essentials. In the Old Testament, the ceremonial laws were fulfilled by Jesus. All the sacrifices and the priestly activities all culminated in Christ's work in the New Testament. But the moral laws and principles belying the Ten Commandments and God's moral plan for us continue to stand. The fourth commandment that I just read about the Sabbath is often called today's forsaken commandment. So we tend to let that go. Universally demonstrated by its context, it shows that it's not just for the people of Israel, after Abraham, after Moses, but it's based on the creation itself. God's creating set this pattern as one for us, as God's people today. Sabbath has shifted to Sunday since the first century of the Christian church, a celebration of Easter every Sunday morning. The Lord's Day, resurrection, has become our reason to gather and celebrate new life in Christ. And it's still a prescription for physical, emotional, and spiritual recreation, something that we need to take seriously in our lives. So today's message, I might say, is the sermon you've always dreamed of. Because this morning, I'm going to give you permission to fall asleep during my sermon. Get a rest any way you can. And I can't promise that your wife won't hassle you if you fall asleep and snore, but I won't. Rest in God's presence as we rediscover and recover God's rest in our lives. The first thing that we need to notice in this command is that we are to remember the Lord, as we rediscover God's rest and find recreation in Him, we need to remember the Lord, first of all. Regularly remember the Lord, His grace, His love, His mercy, His kindness. The Sabbath is a covenant sign, it's a reminder of who we are and whose we are. Every time we remember the Lord, we think about how much we matter to Him. Don't forget how much He loves you. He's provided for you. This is seen in Exodus chapter 31. Let me read for you a little bit again, the reiteration and reinforcement of this great command to remember the Lord on the Sabbath. Exodus 31, verse 12, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy.'" Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Holy being set apart, distinct from all the other days of the week. In fact, God went on to say in that context, "Anyone who desecrates the Sabbath must be put to death." Wow, this is serious stuff. Think about it. God takes this seriously. "Whoever does any work on the day, on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work was done, and on the Sabbath, the seventh day, the Sabbath of rest, was holy to the Lord." The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. "It will be a sign between me and my people forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested." The point that I want you to get this morning is that even God's law is a means of grace for his people because it fits us. It reveals God's purposes and plans, designs, the way he made us. He didn't make us to just keep on constantly producing. He even gave it twice. Israel broke covenant with God, and Moses broke the tablets of stone that had God's Ten Commandments written on them by God's own hand. But God said, "Here, you get a second chance," and gave Moses a second set of stone tablets with the Ten Commandments. We tend to turn law into legalisms, do's and don'ts. When we think about the Old Testament laws, we tend to add on to them beyond Bible specifics. God says, "Remember and rest." But that becomes, you can't do this on Sunday, you can't do that on Sunday. Those of previous generations, especially those who lived in Ocean Grove or Ocean City, knew all about the things that you weren't allowed to do on Sunday, right? You have to rest. You have to take a nap. All right? Well, we need to get past man-made law. See the purpose of God in providing rest for your souls. As we do, we remember the Lord constantly celebrating God's presence in worship. Constantly celebrating God's presence in worship. As the author of Hebrews in the New Testament says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The Sabbath, primarily, first of all, is for us to remember God and come together in worship. Yes, we all need to meet with God every day in personal devotions. There needs to be time every day to spend time with the Lord. And yes, we need to live every moment of every day, of every week, in God's presence, but especially, specifically, intentionally set aside one day a week for worship and fellowship together. Remember God and encourage one another. Don't let the stuff of life and the business of work encroach on your time with God. Remember the Lord, so that you might build bigger hearts. Remember, that's the purpose. That's the basic point. Remember the Lord regularly. As you do, recalibrate your heart. As you remember him, you recalibrate your heart. we need to regularly recalibrate. The world constantly slams us with pressures and stresses that distort, destruct, and destroy spiritual well-being and peace. Right? Therefore, we all need to regularly recalibrate, refocusing on God's image in our lives. Analogy. There's lots of analogies for recalibration, how things get bumped and knocked out of focus. I remember back when I was a kid, my dad used to love to take pictures and slides. Remember the old slide projectors? Before PowerPoints and computers, we had a slide projector, and my dad would set it up. And, of course, I'm always running around playing soccer in the living room, which I wasn't allowed. But anyhow, one little slight little jiggle would throw the whole projector out of focus. Oh, got to refocus. Got to recalibrate. Well, it's true of lots of things. It's true of our cars, wheel alignment. What do you mean I can't run over curbs and still keep my wheels aligned? Anyhow, balance your tires, tune pianos, right? When you move a piano, it throws it off. It needs to be retuned. So it is with a guitar. In other words, we need to regularly recalibrate. I can have a quiet time in the Lord in the morning and spend time with God in the morning, but oftentimes by noon I need to recalibrate and retune together with the Lord. And I work at church among Christians. For those of you that work out in the world, man, by noon, it's all out the window. Now, I'm not talking about legalisms. I'm talking about life-giving rest in the Lord. Our focus is easily lost. It was true back in Jesus' day. Over and over again, Jesus was challenged by the religious leaders who were so fastidious in keeping the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2, it says, on the Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to snack a little bit, picking some of the heads of the grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful in the Sabbath, harvesting? Jesus answered and says, don't you remember what it says in the scriptures about David? He and his companions were hungry and in need. And back in that day, the chief priest in the house of the Lord had consecrated bread. And Abiathar, the chief priest, gave it to David's men. He said to the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So it is for us. Take this as a gift, not a burden. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and there was a man with a shriveled hand. Some of the religious leaders were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus and watching Jesus closely to see if he was going to do the work of healing this man on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Made an example of him. Which is lawful on the Sabbath, he asked the leaders, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? They kept silent. He looked around them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Okay, catch this. Jesus saw their shriveled, shrunken hearts. Was angry. Said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus for the crime of healing on the Sabbath. Sabbath rest for us, as for all of the people of God down through the ages, is to give life, not to suffocate us with rules and laws. So, First thing, as we consider recalibrating our hearts, remember the Lord. It's for your sake as well as His. Also, we need to restore our soul and refresh our spirit. Restore your soul, refresh your spirit amidst the chaos and craziness of the culture, the frantic frenzy pace of the world. Real rest is being restored deep in your soul. As St. Augustine said, O Lord, our hearts are restless, searching until they find their rest in Thee. Psalm 23, as we sang in our middle hymn, when you remember that the Lord is your shepherd, He provides rest. As we lie down in green pastures, and He leads us beside still waters, that we might be restored in our soul. This last week, Bev and I went up to North Jersey to see her doctor about her broken ankle. And I said, after we had a great doctor's appointment and the doctor was very pleased with her progress and healing, I said, why don't we take a ride while we're all the way up here by Route 80? Let's drive through the mountains a little bit and just kind of enjoy the time. So we took a ride across Route 80 to the Delaware Water Gap, and one thing led to another. Next thing, we're almost up in New York State on the Pennsylvania side. We drove through the Delaware State Forest up there. How cool was that? Just to drive along the river and watch the ice chunks flowing down the river, the Delaware River up there, and it was restoring to our souls. It was refreshing to our spirits to be out in God's creation, looking at the purple mountain majesties. Well, they were kind of white and gray. But anyhow, you get my point. The majesty of God reflecting in His creation is restoring for us. We love to do that. Take a ride along the water by the beach or walk on the beach. We sometimes will drive all the way down to Maryland to Conowingo Dam. I don't know if you've ever heard about that. There's especially certain times of year, the bald eagles congregate and go fishing alongside the dam there along the Susquehanna River, and it's marvelous. This one time we saw over 80 bald eagles. How refreshing to your soul to watch God at work. In the midst of stress and press of the daily grind, we need a rest, a Sabbath rest. Listen to another verse in Exodus chapter 31. Therefore the Israelites will keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. And on the seventh day, God rested and was refreshed. God was refreshed. How wild is that? So God was tired after His work of creation? Boy, the fish were easy, but the giraffes and elephants, they really took it all out of me. I don't think God said that. But anyhow, just imagine God building into the pace of our life, the cycle of our week, a rest, using His example. Keeping the Sabbath is refreshment to the soul. And it's different for different people. Rest and recreation is different for each one of us. For some, recreation is reading a good book, walking in the woods or on the beach, visiting with a friend, taking a nap, playing soccer with the family. Whatever it is that gives you life, that breathes life as a change of pace. Now, I realize not everybody can take Sunday off. There are works of necessity, people who are in the medical field, people in areas that have to be at work. You need to take another day. This week it came home to me. I was emailing my boss, the district superintendent, and an automatic reply came back from Gina Hendrickson saying, today, Friday, is my Sabbath day, so I will get back to you after today. And I thought, perfect. There she is, living an example and a model. I obviously have to work on Sunday, so I generally take Tuesdays off, except for this week. We have a special meeting, and I have a funeral. But anyhow, when I'm working on a Tuesday, I need to take another day. I'm taking Friday off, I believe, because of the flexibility of my schedule, because God has commanded that I rest, that I change pace, that I recreate. And so it is. This is not just an excuse to be lazy, but an opportunity to shake the drives that we have to be productive and to be greedy, to collect all kinds of things. As we realize God's recreation in our lives, realize God's recreation, know that there is rest on earth from heaven, a taste of heaven. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were preparing to enter the promised land as a prototype or a type of entering heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about this entering the promised land is entering God's rest as a visible sign. As we take Sabbath, as we rest, we look back to the time when the people entered into a land flowing with milk and honey and entered into God's rest. If they were faithful, some were not able to go in because of their unfaithfulness. But there's a picture of heaven. If we are faithful, we will enter into God's rest. But even now, we have a taste of that. Our rest, looking forward, is our eternal hope, our hope in heaven. There's a fascinating passage in Revelation chapter 14. Think about this. Revelation 14, verse 11. There was no rest day and night for those who worshiped the beast and his image, the Antichrist, for anyone who receives the mark of his name. No rest. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commands and remain faithful. Then I heard the voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Lord, they will rest. They will rest from their labor. Those in the Lord by faith, for their deeds will follow them. There comes a time in which all of us who trust in Christ will find our rest forever. Resting in faith is what Jesus invites you and I to do. Jesus promises to all who trust him, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I pray this morning that God will grow your heart for compassion, for kindness, for love for one another, for loving him with your whole heart. As you grow bigger hearts, as you find your rest in him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to learn, receive permission from you to rest, not feel guilty, have a change of pace. Lord, forgive us for forgetting you and not remembering you on the Sabbath, but work in us to draw us closer to yourself that we might truly find peace, find our rest in you. Help us to cease from our strivings. Help us, Lord, to be approved by you as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.